for Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Grace Padmanayan Prabhu addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees in Sri Dham Mayapur. This is 10th of January 2014. It's a part one of the session and addressing on Bhagavad Gita chapter 17. This is unit 3 and D5. Hare Krishna.
Today we will do little exercise to recall what we have discussed so far. If you can recall few points from our previous lessons, we will prepare a chart starting with chapter 13. Okay? So who can give me the connection between 12th chapter to 13 chapter, 13 to 14, 14 to 15, 15 to 16.
You can
help. I will help. I need your help. Okay. Just think. You see, this Bhakti Shastri class is not like teacher is coming and he is sitting in the Vyasasana and he can give like 2.5 hour lecture to you. If the class has to be like that, then you can go to temple or you can invite teacher to your preaching place and you give him a verse, then you will see what he can speak. But in Bhakti Shastri class, we don't do that. We normally, our way is, we want to make sure that you carry something with you which can be useful as a useful tool. So this is a very good thing to actually, you know, have a connection throughout the Bhagavad Gita. And you can very easily recollect what is happening where. So, just to bring you to the right path, in 12th chapter, Krishna was speaking about different practitioners.
Different practitioners, emotional service. He said in the first part, he established that the one who worships him in a personal form and in devotional service, he is better situated than the one who worships in an impersonal way, because in worship, personal worship is difficult in the practice and difficult to give up the practice.
Okay.
To become attached.
Yes, you got it. Then, this shift was, he says, those who are engaged in my personal worship, tesam aham samurdharta mrityu sansara sagarat. I rescue them from the ocean of birth and death. How he does that? By giving knowledge. Right? Then he is coming to 13th chapter. In 13th chapter, what knowledge Krishna was giving? Okay, somebody can come and just write something. Just let us refresh our memory what we have learned so far. What was the knowledge Krishna was talking about in 13th chapter? Somebody can. Who can help me to write on the flip chart? You see, at least you should have few points memorized by now, what we have studied so far. Definitely we will appear in the closed book test, open book test, but at the same time also, keep your mind open to grasp something in the first place you are ready to share with anybody you want. So in 13th chapter, he's there. Yes. So What was that knowledge we are discussing about in 13th chapter?
Field.
Very good. Field of activities. Field of activities includes what?
Senses, all the elements.
24 elements. Very good. You all know about 24 elements. That's one aspect of jnana. Right? What else we discuss? After that? 20 items of knowledge, process of knowledge. Very good. Field of activities, okay. Process of knowledge.
Sense
What is this he wrote? Sambandha? No, that is field of activities. Yes. Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Sambandha is in the
15th chapter. Very good. The field of activities. Yes, Prabhuji? Very good. How the jiva is entangled in this material world, or how jiva satisfies his fruity desires. Yes, Prabhuji?
Products of material mind.
Products of material mind. How many products did you discuss?
Ten
products. Very good. 10 products of material mind. Okay, you got some points there. And then, how do you link 13th chapter to 14th chapter? Yes, Sadhu? Yes.
Karanam guna sangasya.
Karanam guna sangasya sada sadjoni janmasu. So then that is linking with the gunas which is explained in 14th chapter. Very good. Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangasya sad asat joni janmasu. 13th chapter 22. So then that's how we are going from making a shift from 13 to 14, right? Then because you know the association of guna is actually entangling the jiva in the material world, now in the 14th chapter Krishna is speaking about how these gunas affect, or how these gunas they bind the living entities in this material world, right? What did you see in the 14th chapter? Yes?
Well, Krishna tells us how to get untangled.
Yeah.
And he also tells us about the mode and how we're shackled to them.
Yeah. In particular?
Mental speculation and philosophical speculation.
Mental speculation and philosophical speculation. Okay. Yes?
And how to liberate one understands how the modes are working,
he
can be liberated, and then the symptoms of one who is above the modes are given, and even that one who engages in full devotional service without failing in any circumstance, then he automatically rises above the modes.
Okay. Can we phrase it nicely?
No.
Okay, we can say, no, the symptom of someone who is transcendentally situated,
yeah,
and the behavior of the transcendentally situated person.
Behavior of one above guna.
Okay, who is situated transcendentally.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Prabhuji.
Acts of? Yeah.
No, that's coming in next chapter, 15. Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji.
The quality of these goodness.
Yes.
It opens up, it illuminates the gate of all the gates.
Hmm.
It is pure.
Hmm.
It is sinless.
Hmm.
That's goodness. Then passion is unending hankering.
Hmm.
Then you always ask for things.
Hmm.
Then you won't be satisfied. Ignorance is
more indolent. Yeah. Okay. Any other point you remember from 14th chapter?
Seed giving father.
Very good. We had some analysis about this social issues, scientific issues. Remember those points? Krishna says, "Aham bija pradap pita." He is not father of the Indians. He is not Hindu god. Remember something?
Yeah,
right? We had some kind of discussion there? Yeah.
He impersonates the Brahman to her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, two words. Very good. Thank you.
The worlds are always competing with each other.
Yeah. Then what is the example we used? Who is going to win? Black dog and white dog example. Then we came with the conclusion that who you feed the most is going to be the winner of the battle. Isn't it? Very good, you know so many things. Yeah, you see, John, when we look back, then it refreshes our memory. So now we can just, you know, quickly grasp what we have learned so far. Okay, so then, towards the end of chapter 14, Arjuna asking the question, Kailinga Srin Gunan Hetan Atita Bhavati Prabhu Kim Achara Katham Chaitan Srin Gunan Ativartate. So then, Krishna goes on explaining the external qualities visible in the transcendental spiritual personality, and also the person, he himself can also realize the qualities. Tokasam cha pravrittim cha mohomeva cha pandava no dveshtisam pravrittani na nivrittani kankshati, that, you know, that goes on explaining. So then, how you go to the 15th chapter? Yes?
In 15?
Yeah? Yes. So in 14th chapter we are discussing about Sattva-guna, effect of Sattva-guna, Raja-guna and Tama-guna. So then he is linking with the 15th chapter that those who are in the mode of goodness, they are situated in the upper branch of this tree. Those are in the lower mode of nature, Raja and Tama, they are in the lower branch of the tree. And he is giving this analogy of the banyan tree to explain the entanglement of the jiva in this world of samsara. And there, what did we learn?
Well,
yes, you are saying, Prabhuji, you can repeat this now.
The axe, when you chop the tree, is symbolic detachment from material world.
Asanga sastrena dridhena chitva. Strong determination. What is the determination? Detachment. Okay. With detachment, you can cut this. That's why Krishna is speaking in the 15th chapter. Okay, so then, what else did you discuss in the 15th chapter?
Surrendering process.
Surrendering process. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Do you remember what Prabhuji is saying? Various ways of surrendering process? Yes, you can. You are talking about surrendering process, right? So, how come the pride is coming to the surrender process? Yes, Prabhuji. How come this pride is coming to the process of surrender? What is the function of pride? How does it help? Or but what is the role of the pride in the process of surrender? Pride doesn't allow us to surrender. That's it. Transmigration. Yeah. We discussed the point about transmigration. And
there's one verse, that number 6, that is a brief description of the kingdom of God. And then there's the process of transmigration, how the soul...
Very good, very good. Dham of the Supreme Lord.
Like some verses, like Krishna is helping us in enjoyment, like in moksha.
How did we come with the general principle? Krishna facilitates and moksha of the living entities. Very good. Yes?
In verse number 15, we have said that Savasya Chal is the name of Krishna. It comes out and there's relevance and qualification of Krishna.
So in that context, we refer to one Prabhupada's lecture and we are discussing some point about that. Matva Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Who can elaborate on that point? What did Prabhupada say? Matva Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. Yes, Prabhuji?
Krishna gives memory of even those bad thoughts to make us feel how bad we were. And he makes us forget also. So we should remember them and be humble.
So Prabhupada is saying Krishna is reminding you Krishna is, when these bad thoughts come to our mind, then we should understand that Krishna is reminding us we were like that before. Yeah. Then?
We should continue to practice.
Yeah. Yes?
This chapter is called Purushottam Yoga and Krishna is repeating the Mayavadi philosophy. Verse 15, 16 is telling that there is infallible and fallible human beings, and also next verse is telling that above them is the Supreme Personality
of God. Very good. Krishna is Purushottam. Trishloki Gita. 18. This is where coming Sambandha, Abhidheya and Prayojan Tattva. Sambandha, Abhidheya, Prayojan principle we discussed. Yeah. So you see, quickly we are just running through, whatever you remember you can, you know, give me some answers. But at the same time I can feel, whatever you have noted down, if you see it, then you can also, you know, very quickly remember. So, did we discuss about the eight qualities of the soul? Somewhere? Where did we discuss? No, no, which chapter did we discuss about that? 14. Right? Yeah. Mamsa jo vyabhicharana bhakti jogana sevate sva gunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. In that sense we discussed about the eight qualities of the soul. Isn't it?
Yeah.
10 products of the mind, 10 8 qualities of the soul. Very good. So then from 15 to 16. How did we come from 15 to 16? Never mind. Look at your note. That is being explained in chapter 16. How we are coming? Yes? Yeah.
That those who understand this will be liberated, like more or less.
Yeah.
And then it says chapter 16, a description of demoniac nature, which means those who don't understand.
So who are qualified to accept Krishna's knowledge and who are not qualified to accept Krishna's knowledge? Then those who are having divine qualities, they are accepting Krishna's teaching and getting liberated. Those who are demoniac in nature, not qualified for understanding Krishna's instruction, that's how they are being degraded. They are going to the hell. So, what was the end point for those, end result for those who are demoniac in nature? Was it possible for them to get mercy from Krishna?
No.
The worst species of life.
Eternally residing in hell. Right?
Lord Chaitanya came.
Now you are endowed with the mercy of Prabhupada to become a soldier in Chaitanya's army. You can also do something. Yes?
Can you remember about how being stuck in a banyan tree? And I always remember 16, but he tells you how to climb out of the banyan tree.
Very good. Yeah.
And also in the Abhijataya,
Abhijatasya.
Krishna says, no warrior should not be observed. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to be killing so many men, and therefore maybe I'm a demoniac person. No, don't worry. You were born with God's voice.
Abhijatasya. And can you say something, share something from your yesterday's exercise? like in the sense, okay, for example, we looked into Ugra Karma. Okay? Like that, you correlate with Bhagavad Gita verses. What did you come out with from newspaper? It was giving you a shastric eyes to see Bhagavad Gita in it. Yes?
Mostly the newspaper, 99.9% describe about
demoniac quality.
Demoniac nature. So we should we should follow the authority to study deeper and deeper and deeper and preach to the general people.
Our justice is best with great in chapter 16 that says, yes, I'm probably going to be here.
Okay.
Those who act whimsically, offer a spiritual injunction, they are bound to go to heaven's planet because they are breaking the principles of religion. They will not be happy, they will not get perfection in their life.
Neither happiness nor perfection can be attained by those who do not follow the rules and regulations of Shastra. Thank you very much. Now you have brought me to the right track. I cannot wait now. Okay, this is how. Now we are moving on to chapter 17. So, okay, thank you, Michael. Please take your seat.
We talk about the eight qualities of Krishna, and then at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita we talk about the six symptoms of Krishna, Murtham, Urvishas, Krishna, full knowledge. So what is the link between the two?
Which two?
Eight qualities and six symptoms of Krishna.
You
know, the qualities of the soul and the six opulences of Krishna.
Yes, six opulences.
Those are two different things. Krishna is having all opulences. Okay, but when we are talking about these eight qualities of the soul, those qualities also present in Krishna, but he is Vibhu and Jiva is Anu. Means Krishna possesses those qualities in full and Jiva possesses those qualities in minute quantity. That's the difference. Like Prabhupada, you will see in Sri So, he will give the example of a piece of gold and the whole gold mine. You take a drop of water from the sea and vast body of water in the sea. There is a great difference. How much salt can you get from a drop of water? But still it tastes salty. How much salt can you get from a vast body of ocean? Large quantity. This is how Prabhupada explains. And you will see it in Sri So. So now today we are going to, we have done this, no need to go through it again. Okay, just read it out, at least again it is refreshed.
However, overview of Bhagavad Gita chapter 16 and links with previous chapters discuss the significance of the word abhidhatasya in relation to imbibing divine demoniac qualities from birth with reference to Bhagavad Gita 16.15, identify examples of divine and demoniac nature in current world affairs, cite an example of the Buddha karma from current society, describe the destination of those who develop demoniac nature with reference to Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, verse 19.24.
Okay, they eternally reside in hell. Now, question number 5, divisions of faith. So now we are going to discuss about faith. Where did you see faith being discussed in relation to achieving knowledge in Bhagavad Gita before this chapter? Do you remember some verse from Bhagavad Gita where it speaks about faith related to knowledge, two hands up, somebody else? Raise your hand up. Yes, Ruji. Very good. Very good. You are about to speak the same verse? Okay, what do you wanted to say?
Isn't there something in the 16th verse about those who are not praised in the scripture?
We are coming just after this. Just hold on for a second. Yeah, what he said is correct. Shraddhavan Lavate jnana. Jnana means, Shraddha means faith. Shraddhavan, one who has faith. He is Shraddhavan. And he is qualified to accept knowledge. Lavate jnana. Okay. Can see 439? Okay, let's see it. Just stop with this. Saddhavan lavate jnanam. Read what translation how Prabhupada is Saddhavan.
Faithful man.
Faithful man.
Lavate jnanam
knowledge. Okay. A faithful man achieves knowledge. Okay, now Arjuna is thinking, you told me just now, ja sastra vidhim mutsujya vartate kamakarata. One who disregards scriptural injunctions but acts according to his own whim. What happens to him? No sukham no paramgati. He neither achieves happiness nor perfection in his life. But before you have already discussed, saddhavan lavate jnanam. A faithful person achieves knowledge. So now would you like to describe to me somebody who disregards spiritual injunctions but has firm faith on his belief. He follows certain faith, certain religion, but he is not actually following it in accordance with the religious scriptures. So what kind of people are they? How can I understand them? Can you see the link? Who doesn't understand? Okay. So this is how Krishna, what he spoke in chapter 4, and now he is speaking at the end of chapter 16, Arjuna, he is exercising his brain. And then he is going to chapter 17. See, I have put in the slide. Okay. These are our view. See. Ja sastra vidhim utsujya vartate kamakarata na sa siddhim avapnati na sukham na parangatim. This was 16th chapter. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Saddhavan lavate jnanam. Arjuna is thinking, you explained to me in 4th chapter, faithful man achieves knowledge. So would you like to explain to me further? That's how he is saying. Okay? Let us read this text in 17th chapter together, then we will come to the slide. Arjuna uvacha je sastra vidhim utsrujya jajante saddhayanvita te sam nishthatuka krishna sattvam aho rajastama. Read the translation from your book.
Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance?
You see, whatever I have discussed so far, to build the connection between 4th chapter, 16th chapters and 17th chapter, Srila Prabhupada is very nicely explaining in his purport. See, when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you can very quickly link up all those subjects. Somebody can start reading from the purport of one, then you can see, understand very nicely. Yes?
In the beginning.
Yeah.
In the 4th chapter, 39th verse, it is said that a person faithful to a particular type of worship gradually becomes elevated to the stage of knowledge and attains the highest perfectional stage of peace and prosperity. In the 16th chapter, it is concluded that one who does not follow the principles laid down in the scriptures is called an asura, demon. And one who follows the scripture and injunction faithfully is called a deva or demigod. Now, if one, with faith, follows some rules which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunction, what is his position? This doubt of Arjuna is to be cleared by Krishna. Are those who create some sort of god by selecting a human being and placing their faith in him, worshipping in goodness, passion or ignorance? Do such persons attain the perfectional stage of life? Is it possible for them to be situated in your knowledge and elevate themselves to the highest perfectional stage? Do those who do not follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but who have faith in something, and worship gods and demigods, and men, attain success in their efforts? Arjuna is putting these questions to Krishna.
See? So you say they are faithful people, they are supposed to get knowledge, but they are not following Shastra. What happens to them? Which mood they are in? Do they attain perfection? If they are worshipping demigod or man or some, you know, god, some maybe social faith, they just simply follow because their forefathers were following certain faith, he is also following the same faith. What happens to them? So then, starting from text number 2, Krishna is actually now explaining. Trividha bhavati saddha dehinam sa svabhavaja sattviki rajasi chaiva tamasi chetitam sunu. Trividha bhavati saddha. Faith is divided into three kinds. How? According to the moods of nature acquired by the embodied soul. That's how they are divided into three categories. Okay. And then Prabhupada is giving a very nice explanation about how somebody is having this swabhava, these impressions, so that they are categorized as sattvic people, rajasic people or tamasic people. Read this purport as long as
contaminated modes of material nature expand to the heart. Therefore, according to the position of the heart in contact with a particular mode of material nature, one's faith is established.
The contaminated modes of material nature expand to the heart. Therefore, according to the position of the heart in contact with a particular mode of material nature, one's faith is established. This is key point. Where do this contamination takes place? In the heart. And then from there we establish our faith on a particular mode. Again he is expanding on this point in the next. So people are being controlled by the three kinds of material nature, and if they do not follow the Shastric injunction, then he will concoct. He will create something according to his position. Means, as his heart is contaminated, he will concoct accordingly. Either in the tamaguna or rajaguna or sattvaguna. Continue.
Thus we find different types of faith in this world, and there are different types of religions and different types of faith.
Yeah.
The word contamination and soul, which is what we're talking about in the heart, seems to contradict.
Soul?
Well, the heart becomes contaminated. We just said it. So, covered over is one thing. Contamination is impure. How does, we're not talking about the human heart, we're talking about the soul within the heart. So how does the soul within the heart become contaminated as opposed to covered over?
the more the contaminated modes of material nature expand to the heart. Okay. So here, heart is contaminated in the sense, if you say that, okay, soul is residing in the heart. Constitutionally speaking, soul is pure. He cannot be contaminated. But here you try to understand, we are discussing about a conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is when he is identifying himself with this material nature, that's how he is entangled. So this is the contamination. It's not that it is, literally speaking, it is contaminated. As he identifies with the material modes, he feels, I am that. But in actuality, he is not. That's why we say, the senses of the pure soul in liberated stage is different from the senses of the soul in the conditioned stage of existence.
Is that a condition of being lust covered over by the influence of the mind? And that's what we're talking about, lust covered over versus more covered over?
Yeah, you can say like that.
Contamination of being
lust? Yes, we can speak it like that also. Yes, correct. Okay. So that's how people who are having different, who are affected by different modes of nature, they follow different types of religion. Okay. Now, Srila Prabhupada is making this point in his purport. One's faith may be in a demigod or some created god or some mental concoction. Now, you have to find out, you have to select some modern religious practice and discuss their merits and demerits. Give specific reference to Krishna's analysis of faith in the modes as described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 17, verse 1 to 4 in your presentation. And what you have to do? Compare these practices to the practice of Krishna consciousness. You have one question to write for your open book assessment from this chapter. If you respond to this question, then you can write that question also. Okay, so let's spend some time together with, you know, your group, and you come out with some solution how you can compare those practices, what are those people, what kind of, you know, faith they follow, and you can make analysis of their faith in terms of moods of material nature, sattva-guna, rajaguna and tamaguna, and then see what comes up with.
We have to know what is the nature of their faith. I mean, like personally, I was raised as a Catholic, for example. So I know what is the practice, what is the Brahma, and everything. But I don't know, like, what is the Jew or anything like that.
Exactly, this is what we want. What you know, you speak about that. Maybe somebody else will know about Jews.
Okay.
This is what we are doing in the class. Maybe, you know, we know, I know something, you know something else. So let's come up.
And there's another thing also, like, there's the official religion, Christian Buddhism and all that. But there's other things, like in the Caribbean, for example, there's the Santeria, the Aboriginal religions, or in my country, there's the Native, you know, they were...
Yeah. You discuss all these things, you discuss.
Okay.
Yeah, you discuss in your group, that's what I want. Yeah, it's clear. Okay, so please, like, you know, you feel comfortable with your group members. I don't want to find a group for you. Just, you know, four people in one group. You go sit and discuss and come up with some points to present to the whole class.
Old people down there.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm doing?
Yeah, good. Just find out your man.
For the assignment, yeah. Should we pick just one or many? Or say, for example, I was practicing Mayavada philosophy before, so then I can talk about that fully in the 500 words only on that?
Yeah,
that is the point is, we want you to have understood this concept. The people who are following some other path, except Krishna consciousness, they are under the mood. And if you are successfully explaining that part, it's not necessary you have to give like elaborate discussion about thousand different religious faiths in the world existing and they are categorized in certain circles. It's not nothing that we can do. Okay.
Hey, what happened? You three?
Oh, yeah.
But in America, the mercy is in place of the cross. The cross is in the place of the cross.
Well, I'm lazy. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Hare Krishna, may I have all your attention please?
Hare Krishna,
so you can continue your group discussion up to 11:30. Okay?
So much fun.
You see, what you have to do? You have to select the practice and discuss their merits and demerits. Then second point is, give specific reference to Krishna's analysis of faith in the moods. Okay? Then finally you have to compare it with practice of Krishna consciousness. So you have to structure your presentation accordingly. That's why we are giving you time up to 11:30. Okay? Okay, if you don't find that one group, we have only one religion. Okay, if you have something, just discuss. If not, then let us hear from others. If you don't know, what can I say then?
Okay.
Just leave for that purpose. Good.
Anyway, I talked to, they said this time you pay from here only.
Okay.
So, Isha Sarji bola. 1,000 लेके आओ, then 2,000 will pay from petition day. I know, but because we give 12,000, he said, now I can give only 8,000. He said, 2,000 तुम तुम्हारे internally करो तुम.
कौन?
वो प्राणेश्वर प्रभु आने के बाद तो he will settle that 2,000 internally. Right now I'll take 2,000 cash from our petition. Because anyway वो बचा है 2,000 ना. हमने उसको 10,000 ही दिया, 12 निकाला. So 2,000 is there in petty cash, so no problem.
Oh, there is 12,000 advance.
We showed, but we gave him only 10.
Oh, but it is here, so it is
12,000,
right?
Yeah. Okay. So they said we can't give more than 8. He's right.
Yeah.
No problem. So 2,000 we have anyway.
Yeah.
So 2,000 was 8,000, 10,000. I'll make him sign on this. He has received.
Did he get the money?
No, he's going and getting it.
No, that money.
वो निकाला वो कहाँ जरी सब छोटे हैं क्या आदमी.
अरे at least you people should understand what is this.
Crazy
this brother. Isn't it? What is this?
अभी मैं देखा I don't know he's keeping it like
this. This totally nonsense. You see anybody can come in and take the money go away.
वो आज से बोल रहा हूँ तो बोल लो आप यार.
अच्छा ये चाबी है क्या इसका?
नहीं
उसके पास दे इधर दे पैसा.
This is nonsense.
बोलता भी नहीं किसी को ऐसे ही चले जाता
है कुछ है
ना
अरे भाई यही जो पैसे छोड़ जाते हैं क्या
इसे
लिसन कैन यू सेंड हिम नाउ टू ट्रस्ट ऑफिस विद दिस मनी
हाँ तो ये भेज दो ना ये लेके जाओ
डेट दे दो डेट देना पड़ेगा वहाँ डेट अमाउंट बैठना पड़ेगा
सब है वो सब रेडी है
तू नहीं जाओ ट्रस्ट जमा कर दिया
तुमको मालूम है ना पैसा करने का पिंक स्लिप निकाल के सब वेल वी कंफर्म आई हैव कंफर्म सम तो वी हैव टू साइन दिस
या
तो व्हाई डू कॉन्ट्रैक्ट ऑफ दिस साइन
नो देयर इज अ साइनर हु द दो साइनर या पे ना
तो हम लोग कॉन्ट्रैक्ट का साइन कहां लेंगे दिया दिस इज मनी तो बोले मुझे मिला नहीं
यहां
पे ना समवेयर यू टेक योर सिग्नेचर ना क्रिस्टीन करके
ये पैसे तो आगे तो जमा कर दिया तो घंटा तो फिर तब देखा जाएगा क्या करा जाएगा
वो पहला वाला जगह तो भी करने के लिए
दिस वर्क शुड बी डन एज क्विक एज पॉसिबल गेटिंग मनी एंड जस्ट लिविंग इट लाइक दिस व्हाट इज दिस ये क्या है भाई
हाँ
Oh yes. So death report.
Thank you.
35. You can go up to
35.
question properly.
This question?
Yes, sir.
See, here what you are saying.
It looks like it also. Because going through the purpose, but still it is not clear to you.
That's why mainly what you do is here. We are trying to help students understand that Krishna consciousness is better than any other practice that we see in today's world. Okay? Like the Ramakrishna Mission, Buddhism or Muslims, you know, sometimes some people they worship even ghosts, okay? Some trees. But if you, then you compare with Krishna consciousness practice. Even if somebody is just worshipping a kind of a banyan tree, okay, that may be in the mood of goodness. If you compare that with Krishna consciousness, still that remains below the practice of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. We have to show that Krishna consciousness is the highest.
Highest.
Like some like worship some very god, some like cricket stars,
yeah,
film stars.
Yeah. Somebody was even worshipping this Prabhupada says in Second World War time. Who did he worship? Leader from Russia. Prabhupada is writing here now in purport. This man, he was worshipping Hitler. Hitler.
So, like our question.
Some people, they also worship what is a Superman.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So these are like all concocted gods.
Yes, of course.
So what question is to be like written from 1 to 3?
So they are in the mood of ignorance. When you identify that mode of ignorance, then you compare what will be their destination. Okay. Where are they going to go with such kind of faith if they practice? And what is the destination of people who are practicing Krishna consciousness? When you compare, then you come out with some solution.
Regarding Ramakrishna Mission, Asaram Babu and so forth,
yeah.
But we don't know much about it, so how we can help?
If you don't know anything, don't. At least if you can identify what they are following is not Krishna consciousness, then they will be either of these moods, under either of these moods. It's identified. If somebody is not following Krishna, that means they are following something else, they are under the mood. Krishna consciousness is actually subtic and also above, is helping practitioners to go beyond the mode of goodness even. Maybe somebody is following some, you know, demigod worship still, Urdhvam Gacchanti Satyastha.
Only to the heavenly planet.
To the heavenly planet. They can, Devan Deva Jajo Janti. But Madhvakta Janti Mamika. And also like Bhutani Janti Bhuteja, sorry, there, what is the text?
9.25.
What is
that? Pitran, one who worships the existence, gross to existence, one who worships both.
Yeah, yeah.
Spirit,
yeah. What is that little verse? Janti Deva Pratadevan, Pitran Janti Pitran Bhata, Bhutani Janti Bhuteja, Janti Maja Inhoti Ma. Like this, we have to quote something from
the book. You have to quote also in the open book.
Yeah, yeah, if you quote, that is nice.
You can quote.
Yeah. What is the question says? Question says,
explain in your own words how different traditions can be analyzed according to the modes of nature with reference to Bhagavad Gita chapter 17, 1 to 3 verses and verses. The first one is 3 verses 3.
See, explain in your own words how different religious practices can be analyzed. Okay? According to the moods of material nature. For example, somebody is worshipping a demigod. Definitely he is in the mood of goodness. But if you analyze their practice, what result they get, that you can compare with practice of Krishna consciousness.
So, we have to give the reference 9.25.
You can give, yes, you can give. Why not?
Like same for like you said for ghosts also, that also is from 9.25.
Yeah,
you can
give.
Those who
worship ghosts and spirits. When you explain, you just give one reference, that's okay. Understood. Okay. Like that.
And we have to mention the mode and how Krishna consciousness is above this. And can you talk like Monday or like tomorrow, like I'll be just trying to show my
whatever like I have thought for
whatever you want. Okay, so please come and take your seat, please. Hari Bol. Okay, so now any volunteer group you feel really inspired and you want to present your thought, what you have discussed? Okay. You are late. Let's hear from Prabhuji. In 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'd like to take the opportunity from the devotees to get into that. We discussed about one thing maybe in the very God or from the Chinese God or from mental concoction. We got from modern religion. You know, I used to be a Christian and a Catholic, Roman Catholic. Or baptized, my name is Patrick. In the Christendom, being baptized, we get initiation as a devotee of a Krishna, and get initiation. In baptism, you put your head on the water and give you a new name. But in Christianity, in Hare Krishna, it comes, they are being baptized by a guru and they get a spiritual name. That takes you back home as the world. And in Christianity, they preach about, they have the idea of both goodness and passion, because they are not so too sacred. They don't follow that in very injunction. Sometimes when you break the principles, they believe that you go and confess on Sunday and Christ forgives you. And they say, Christ has already died for your sins. You don't need to follow the principles as God said. But in Christianity, in Islam, we believe that by following the rules of the regulations of the given to you by the Guru, makes you a pure soul to go back home. That is the position of Bhagavad Gita that I say, Dhyamam Abhijanati, Yadha Syata Sivatvata, Satoma Bhutu Yatva, Vita Sita Anantaram.
Bhaktya mam abhijanati, devotees can know me, I am known by devotional practice, javan jastrasmi tattvata, Tato mam tattato jnata. By knowing, understanding me through the process of devotional service, as I am truthful, truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, visate tadanantaram. After that, they can enter into my abode.
From the lowest planet up to the, from the higher planet of the birth planet are filled of misery, whereby it is speaker that all the misery is not there. But one who follows the spiritual injunction of and the Christian movement, he transcends this mood and go back home to the spiritual world. That other position is Bhagavad Gita 1864. Brahma Bhutta Prashan Asman, Nato Shanti, Naka Shanti, Samapati Bhutti, Matakin Abati Param. Means one who is transcendently situated. He never laments, never hankers for anything. At the end, he is qualified to go back to the spiritual world. That is the difference between Christianity and the devotion of Hare Krishna. So we are the presentation we have, we compare between Christianity and devotional service. Devotional service is transcendent. It's above the three modes of appearance of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Devotional service is transcendent. It takes you back home to the world and makes you happy in the kingdom of God. Hare Krishna.
Anybody like to ask any question? Yeah. Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we say, Prabhu, that because the Christians, they don't know, they have no full knowledge about the mode and material nature, can we say that they're in tamas?
They are
in ignorance. In ignorance, because they don't know about the mode and some other things.
Some of them, they know what they meant, because they don't have a living guru. That's why in this form we have a living guru. Sadhguru Parikmasika approach a guru, serve him, inquire from him, he will give you the truth. But they don't have a living guru. The only thing that science will save you and that's already dead. So you can do anything you like to do, nobody checks you. But in this form we have just some balance. That's the reason.
You mentioned Christian people can be categorized either in the mode of passion or in ignorance. Can you give some example of their activities which proves that they are in the mode of passion?
They are in the mode of passion because normally we always we preach about material prosperity. When you get, when you go to heaven, you enjoy, or you really enjoy this world, when you worship Christ, you become a rich man, get all the facilities in the world, because you get a good position, a good wife, good family, bank account, all these things, they make you become, when you get these things, you become proud, and you don't want to surrender to God, and you can do anything evil against the God, same people. You can all, even they know in the Bible that thou shalt not kill, they know the 10th commandment, but they kill animals and eat them. They say animals don't have souls, which is not correct. So they are passing in the mood of passion.
Animal do not have soul. This is a sign of ignorance or passion or goodness.
Ignorance.
Total ignorance. Not even passion. Okay.
Yes, sir.
What was the name of that Christian?
Roman Catholic.
I get confused because I hear so many kinds of Christians. I mean, I've been brought up in my
world. Yeah. Yeah. Part of the whole world, you start from the alphabet, from A to Z. All Christians have different names. Roman Catholic, Apostolic, Catholic, all different names. They are all
Christian. You are blessed, Abhay. Because you have spent long time in Mayapur, but you are not exposed to such kind of thing. That's good.
Can I make some point?
Okay.
I actually went one time to Germany to get my visa for India, and my uncle is, you know, Christian, and he actually said that one of the first prayers, or the main prayer, I don't know how it goes, but it's something like, glory to that name. And so he was pointing out to me, you know, actually, here it says that name, but you people know that name.
So this way, our Padawi party, then how will be that name? That she don't come, that will be done on earth. That will be done on earth as to heaven. So they said, our Padawi party in heaven, if this thing is still not on the way, we will look up in that body, but in heaven. And heaven is always, let me go and back in heaven. That means they're not going to go.
They need the part, how will be that name?
How will be that name? It's supposed to be glorified, not glorifying Krishna.
No, I'm saying he was complimenting me because he said, oh, maybe you guys know the name.
They don't know the name.
Yeah, okay. Before, he wants to say something, yeah.
Okay. I just want to add something. Back at the beginning, Christian religion was a little bit similar to Vedic civilization because at the beginning, we did not use meat to eat, you know, animals. At the beginning, they were vegetarian, normally. But in fact, in the past centuries, from Constantine, rewrite the Bible.
All the fundamental concoction. According to Bible, when they said, according when there was a flood,
and the flood animals died, and they died. They rewrite the Bible in the past centuries. And then the Bible that we know today, it's the Bible we written by the 4th Constantine in the 5th century.
Yeah.
So it's why it's like that today.
Yeah. That's why, but when you come to Krishna consciousness, you are
So
then all those things...
No.
Okay. Last comment, yes.
I just want to shortly say that on the Vatican Council, the new Pope Francis said that actually the all religions are the same, and even if one is calling the God Allah, Adonai, Buddha or Krishna, the all names are the same. So this is something new in West world, and this is actually quite amazing for the dead part of the part of the world.
So the Pope comes into the consciousness, then...
Thank you. Did anybody in any of your group you discuss about Christianity?
We did that carefully.
Please.
We have a completely different
topic. Let's hear from Prabhuji. Yeah.
Catholic, that's because there's a few of us we knew about it, the merits and demerits, is that say some religious yet and merits and demerits. Some of the merits of Catholicism is, for example, there's samskara. Although there's no officially there's no like garbhadham samskara at the moment of conception, but the idea of performing processes during one's life, like there's a communion and then the first communion, things like that. It is a ritual to accompany you throughout your life. I guess the marriage and at the death, for example, but or the baptism, you know, these things. So this idea of samskara to sanctify all the passing of your, you know, there's a rosary. There's the rosary, the practice. In the practice, there's the rosary. Hail Marys and Our Father who art in heaven, things like that. Jesus, Prabhupada said Jesus was pure devotee. The idea that somebody was preaching, was spreading, and he suffered, you know, physical suffering for preaching the message of God. And Like the mass, for example, is a ceremony. So people, those practice, they go to the ceremony. Well, whether people practice or not, or the practice has been lost, or this or that, that's a different subject. Well, I just want to talk about the actual practice. What is, I mean, even in Krishna consciousness, some people practice like this, like this, like this. So that's not the issue. So the mass, people go to mass, they go to the church, and this is a sacred place, they keep silence, and there's forms, there's like moving the statues, whatever you want to call them, and to remind that there's some person, the Virgin Mary and Jesus. Although there's no personal form of God, that's one of the demerits. There's no information about the personality of God. So this is lacking. So we will talk about the Holy Ghost, like the Virgin Mary, for example. She was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. And one of the comparisons to the consciousness, like Devaki, Krishna appeared in the pure mind of Vasudeva, and he was transferred in the pure mind of Devaki, and manifested. So this idea of immaculate conception, that's kind of similarity. So do I go on or? Okay. the Ten Commandments also, there's commandments. So the law of God. So it compares it like the law of man or something. And then the Ten Commandments, actually that's one of the questions in social assessment. The therapies of the body, like to worship the superiors, that's there in the commandments also. Worship your father, mother, and superiors, and thou shalt not love the good ones, other people's wives, and things like that. Of course, there's thou shalt not kill issue, but nowadays, there's a lot of killing. But let's say that this is something else for now. The main point is that the first commandment is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and manasa deha geha, this kind of thing. Does that go on or I stop?
Gone.
Okay. yes, thank you.
Go to the other point. Now you are focusing only on the merit.
Okay, then yeah, okay. Well, thou shalt not kill, all the killing that's going on, that's a demerit. That's a demerit, because it's, it says, the commandment says thou shalt not kill, but then if you talk to a Christian or Catholic, you go, oh, but that's just for human beings, for animals. So there's obscure, there's a gray zone, a big, big gray zone in there. That's a different demerit. And another demerit is that there's no information about the personal aspect of God, although technically it's personal, there's no community of God, it's somebody or the other. So it's an obscure thing. And one thing is that it's materially motivated, like Prabhu was saying. People who pray to God or to the saint, help me in my sickness, or help me, I'm suffering. This notion that God is help you, your order supplier, actually. So that's like a big demerit. Although there are a category of people, or the monks, or different things, that they are, and that would be one of the comparison with Krishna consciousness, that is verse that Siddhu Kampam, that Sami Shamanam, that one who continues suffering the results of his past and activities and offering his patience, he becomes eligible for the kingdom of God. So it's there also like the barrier cross, tolerate and bear with whatever God has sent you, and like people say, oh, what have I done to God? What have I done to God to get myself to be here? So this kind of notion is there, and I'm going to tolerate and bear my cross, and God will help me. So that it is not all black or white, or just some part of the thing. And what else? There's no parampara, there's no spiritual master. That's about it.
Did any of your group discuss about the demigod worship? People who follow worship of certain demigods? Okay, same group?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you can present something.
Calm down.
So the religious practice that we chose at Abhaisarana Mission was the Ramakrishna Mission.
That is the mic.
How they worship.
Mic? Mic is not there.
That's the topic which Abhaisarana Mission, and he came up with a lot of points. I'm just listing them. Some of the merits they have in their practice, so basically their practice is they believe in the soul, they believe that the soul is merged into Brahman, they say that they believe in the five forms of worship of demigods, and any path you take will lead you to the same destination. Any bus you take will go to the same destination. That's it. And they have the concept of treating people very nicely. They build hospitals, they build schools, they take care of people. And Srila Prabhupada's comment on their management was they have a very good management. And one positive comment they have is they don't hate the sinner, but they hate the sin, although they picked up from their catharsis. Now coming to the demerit is they ignore the worship of God, meaning they think that worshipping or providing food to the poor, that is the end goal. And we don't have to use ghee in the temple. We don't have to plant tulsi, but plant eggplant to feed the poor. Use the ghee that's being used in the temple. Don't you do that and use the ghee in feeding the poor. So the poor people in the street, he is considered as God, and he is given a title as Narayan. That too, especially Daridra. Narayan, that's the specially coined name they use. Family life is the only dharma, meaning you don't have to take up other ashrams. Worship any god, you got the same goal, and a few very significant demerits that came up is one of the sannyasis remarks that they look forward for natural calamities so that they can get some funds from the government and they can feed the poor and keep some aside for themselves. And the other one which the founder himself has been practicing and propagating is eating of fish. That's okay because he is the food from the water. Fish is a food of water, so his eating that is okay. Jal kapal. So there's no native language, they know.
Food for life for.
So Ramakrishna personally did that. So in that way, he puts them under the people who are eating those kind of things. So it's mentioned in 17.9 that people who eat salty, pungent, smelling food, they are the mode of ignorance. So they disregard the spiritual injunction, so they are again the mode of ignorance. They kind of have a little bit of goodness in the sense that they worship demigods, but that's being, we don't put, we can't put much emphasis on that because the negative things they do kind of shadow the good things they do. So we do exactly the opposite. We worship Krishna. One more point, they say don't read Gita but play football, that's better.
So
build your muscles and go save the country, that's better than reading Gita. So we do exactly the opposite. We read Gita, we understand the scripture, we worship Krishna as well as the spiritual master. Because to follow the Ramakrishna, they think he is God and worship him. Ramakrishna personally worships Mother Kali, but their followers worship him as God. That is, example which Prabhupada gave, a man in Calcutta worshipping Shiva with similar things for some ulterior motives. Whereas in his cause, we worship Tulsi Devi, we water her, we treat her as a sacred plant, also we give food to the poor. We don't worship other demigods and we don't say that all paths lead to one. We respect the demigods, we know them as the servants of the Lord, but at the same time, we don't take up them as the supreme. So in that way, our practice is much more higher than what we do.
Anybody would like to? Yes, probably.
Yeah. Krishna consciousness experience with them. One point of Bhagavad Gita is here. Different. They do presentations on Bhagavad Gita for industry. Leadership from the Bhagavad Gita. And they conquer as how Krishna is there. Take the position, dynamic position. They use concepts from the Bhagavad Gita. Translated into managerial terms and give presentations on Bhagavad Gita, principles of management for the Bhagavad Gita, and like that, they do it.
That is a kind of misinterpreting Gita, so
yeah.
I would say it's a total misinterpretation. All under demon.
Yeah, but they use Bhagavad Gita for
it. Yeah, using it not for the right reason but for wrong reasons. So I would say that it's still, you're not presenting Gita as it is. You're having some ulterior motive and
but as far as in the current atmosphere, they are quite in the right way. Whenever any calamity comes, especially the Chandam, you know what happens.
Any Hindu, so any Hindu representation, even overseas, we see they are there.
Simple question, Prabhu. Is it similar to Swami Vivekananda mission?
Yeah, it's same. Like that, Vivekananda is a disciple of.
Okay, thank you Prabhuji. So when you compare such practices with the practice of Krishna consciousness, what is the difference you can see?
Krishna consciousness is superior.
In what sense Krishna consciousness is superior to that those practices?
Because as I hear from the Nityananda Prabhu that other practices, other religious practices are even worse. They are not delivering
the law of God, but they at least they are delivering what you need in the first place.
Not only they are based on the country development and so-called relations with the people.
No, you respond to my question. Okay, what's wrong with worshipping the demigods? I am going to worship Goddess Kali because I need something for my daily maintenance, and I understand if I can pray to Goddess Kali today, in one time she is going to fulfill my desire and I will get some results. What's wrong with that?
She wants to play results, but not to trap you in the cycle of birth and death, where you're going to go up to higher heavenly planets and later come back down and find spiritual activity.
How do you explain this in terms of Bhagavad Gita verses? Any reference from Bhagavad Gita verse?
24, worship Krishna, you worship him in the wrong way. Chapter 3, 7, 9.
Quote those verses.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. What is that? Antavattu phalam tesam tadbhavat kalpamedasam. Yeah, these are the verses. Thank you. You know something. Yeah, good. Yeah, you wanted to add something to it? Very good.
Yes, we have complete understanding of God, that Krishna is there, He is supplying everything for us, we should be worshipping Him, we should be His servant rather than falsely claiming I am such and such, but actually I am serving somebody already. For Krishna, what ISKCON is actually helping us to realize that ultimately, constitutionally speaking, you are a servant. And as long as you serve the God here, you are happy and peaceful, and after leaving this body, again you are going to go back to His planet and serve Him there. That means you are always eternally happy. But in case of other religious practices, if they follow certain faith, then they will not be transported to the eternal kingdom of God. They will be either stuck here or going gliding down to the hellish planet, or at best they may go to the heavenly planet, then return back. So big difference, right? Very big difference. Yeah. So we can also give reference to other sections of Bhagavad Gita in your essay, how they are inferior in comparison to the practice of Krishna consciousness.
That was the practice for the essay?
Yeah.
Is there any religion that tells you how to love God? Because most religions say love God.
Very good.
But I don't know any religion that really gives so much detail how to love God.
Yeah, that's what we are doing.
Yeah, I see you about it.
Yeah.
Talking about other religions.
No, I also don't know. Anybody knows about it? Is there any other religion in the world exists? Their process tells us how to love God?
Actually, because they don't have knowledge, they think that they are showing love to God. Like this Ramakrishna mission, they think that helping the poor people, they are loving God. The Hidra and Hara. But how they are in this Hidra? All of them.
Anyway, but that's not the actual love of God. That's not love for God. I don't know. Is there any other religion in the world? Okay, so you want to take a break for 5 minutes to go to the washroom? You didn't go today? Okay. Come back at 12:15. So Prabhuji is asking, we say other religious group, they follow some faith, but we also follow Krishna, means we have also faith, right? So how to differentiate our faith with their faith? Yeah.
Well, Prabhupada explains that like dharma, because we follow Sanatana Dharma, it's something that does not change.
Mm.
Other faiths, you can change from Christian to Hindu or Muslim or different things. You can adopt another faith, another system, but Krishna consciousness is a Sanatana Dharma. It's something that does not change. It's the internal constitution, activity of the soul to be a servant of God.
Right.
So we are also saying that we are the best religion. Everyone is saying that, why? That's a good point. We're saying we're the best, and everybody else is saying that we're the best.
No, we're
right. You're going to be
It's not a question of who is crazy or who is not crazy. The question is who is following the mother and who is not. If you say this argument is coming in Sri Upanishad, The baby, he wants to know who his father is, what he should do. He should go to his mother and ask her, "My dear mother, who is my father?" "My dear mother, who is my father?" Yeah. Then mother will say, "This man is your father." Because since the baby was born, he has never seen his father. Father is going to Calcutta every day early in the morning before baby wakes up. And by the time father returns back home, baby is sleeping already. After 5 years, one day baby is kind of confused. Everybody is saying, "Baba, Baba, Baba, where is my papa? So can you tell me?" So, you know, the similar way, we ISKCON people, we follow Veda Mata. We do not have our concocted idea that Krishna is God. No, we follow authority. Brahma is saying, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. The first living entity in this universe, Lord Brahma, when he says he is supreme, what is doubt about us? Why should I have any doubt about what Brahma is saying? So we are not just simply manufacturing our ideas, our faith, in terms of the moods. Like those who are in the mood of goodness, they feel very much, you know, comfortable to worship different demigods. You know? So what? Even like those who Brahmopasakas, they are also in the mood of goodness. They are not transcendentally situated. Until they come in contact with a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and then understands the, you know, signs of devotional service and they adopt that process. Till then they are in the mood of goodness even. So we are best, yes.
I explain it when this conversation comes up of everyone's people. I explain it that there's religion, I explain it like school, because everyone seems to understand school. There's preschool or kindergarten, Scientology, and then there's grade school, and there's some first through four, and then five through eight. And there's some religions that fit into grade school. And then there's some high school religions that teach advanced things that are good for like Christianity. In some aspects, Christianity could be an advanced school. Catholicism could be an advanced school. But we as devotees, we own the college and postgraduate mark. We are the postgraduate people in the study of God. We teach about God, whereas in high school and grade school and preschool, they really can't teach about God because people aren't able to understand really the depth that we can get to in postgraduate study. And I've never had anybody dispute me on that. People kind of agree with me.
This time when I was in Abu Dhabi, there's a big, you know, famous businessman in Abu Dhabi. He is from India. He is businessman group from Pakistan. These people are called Sindhis. Sindhi. He is a Sindhi man, and he is really, really, you know, successful in his business. And he was awarded for his business as a leader of business in Abu Dhabi. Well, you know, unfortunately this person has converted to Muslim and he goes to mosque every day and, you know, he prays to Allah the way they do. He's also doing that. So this time I went to, you know, visit him. He invited me to his house. Then when I went to his house, him and his wife, they came and they asked me this question. They said, "Swamiji, can you explain, like, you know, what is your understanding about the impersonal aspect of God? Realizing God impersonally." I said, "Yeah, this is one of the aspects of God realization." Then I quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, "Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam jat jnanam adyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabdate." You will not believe, Prabhuji, I spoke to him about 45 minutes. This person, he couldn't say even single word to me. He said, "Swamiji, what you say, I believe." Anyway, you may say because he is a Hindu person, or, you know, that's why he might be. But well, this is not a question of Hindu or non-Hindu, it's a question of faith. He was Hindu before, somehow or other he feels comfortable with Muslim people, now he has joined with their group. So you explain to him without condemning. The first principle is, when you go and talk to some people who are followers of some other faith, never try to attack them in the first place. Attack them. Attack.
Okay.
Attack them.
Yeah, okay.
Means you start in a blasting, oh, your religion is bad, you people eat beef, you people do this, you people do that. Then he will just shut the door. He will not open up. So, yeah, we are best, but you should know how to present that we are best. That's also a kind of art you have to know. Okay. So, last one, okay.
Prabhupada says, talking about intercessory worship, sometimes people worship as a tool of some dead man.
Yeah.
Sexual service is also the reason to be the Lord of God.
Yeah.
Similarly, in remote villages in India, there are worshippers of ghosts. So that sentence in the middle, it seems like totally out of place, and I don't understand why it's even there. Sexual service is also considered to be the Lord of God. What is your phrase? I don't even know.
That also, when I read, anybody knows about what Prabhupada is referring to here? I don't know, maybe something kind of prostitution maybe he is referring to. I think sexual services means prostitution. That can be understanding.
It's
I don't
like
know.
Like out of place, you're talking about demons, about the
devil. Like, okay, let me tell you, when you come to this, you know, giving charity in the moods, it's being discussed there. Sometimes, it's very, you know, practical nowadays, you see. People go to the nightclub, right? And they are just watching a prostitute dancing there in the nightclub. And what do these people do? They just, you know, take out dollars, hundreds and hundreds of dollars and just presenting, you know, giving donation to this prostitute. Because they are watching her dance. What is this? This is total ignorance. Something like that. Okay, so, Prabhupada is saying, divisions of faith, yes?
Therefore Krishna says that Trividha Bhavati Shraddha Dehinam Swa Swa Bhavaja. If one is cultivated in his life like hogs and cats and dogs, the behavior is also like that, and remaining in that position, so his faith and one who is advanced, who is worshipping deity and having three times bath and chanting mantras, Hare Krishna, they are not equal.
They are not equal, yes.
That is not possible because one is situated in a Sattva-guna and the other is situated in Tamaguna. Although the Tamagunas, the persons who are in the darkness of knowledge, they have got their faith. It is not that they have no faith, they have got faith, but that faith is in a lower status of life. That faith will not help them to spiritual realization.
Yeah, that's what we have to understand when we are discussing people who are following some other faith, that is not going to help them to come to the platform of salvation. But in case of Krishna conscious practice, definitely it is helping them to attain salvation. Very clear. Now, different kinds of worship. Man in the mood of goodness, worship the demigods. Those in the mood of passion, worship the demons. And those in the mood of ignorance, worship ghosts and spirits. Srila Prabhupada is giving very nice explanation in his purport. Just, you know, very simple, you can read and find out so many things, how people are worshipping, you know, some trees, which is possessed by some ghost, because they feel this ghost can benedict me with such and such power. So, all these explanations are there, if you read Prabhupada's purport, you can know. So now, we'll go to the food in the mood of goodness, passion and ignorance. Two hands up.
Just one question about the essay.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
But in the essay, did we stick to just one system? Like a...
you do like this. Whatever you are going to write, it should not exceed 500 words. It can be limited to one section you are explaining, or if you are so eloquent, you can accommodate few things. You know, like Bhaktivinoda Saraswati says, Bhagmi, expert, eloquent speaker. He can accommodate, you know, many things in one sentence. That's up to you. Okay.
I just had a question on the worship of demigods. Prabhu, earlier we read that Krishna himself explained that those who are of passion, Kama is Sai Sai Kishakyana, Prabhupada Sai Anya Devata, those who are of passion, they worship demigods. Here he seems to contradict his own statement by saying those who goodness they worship.
It's not that these people who are in the mood of passion only worship kind of, you know, this demigod. Also, some people in the mood of passion, they might be worshipping the demon. It's not a contradiction. This is another, it's adding to the, you know, people who are in the mood of passion. Okay. So can you read this part?
Put in the mood of goodness. Put to those in the mood of goodness, increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, and give strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction. Such foods are juicy, fresh, wholesome, and pleasing to the heart.
Okay, now I have some question. Foods like jaggery, the form of milk, jackfruit in the mood of goodness. Jaggery, you know jaggery?
Good.
You know this sugar cane? Molasses, eh? Oh, let's go for it.
They're all offerable. They can all be offered on the altar.
Yeah.
So if they're all offerable,
okay. Huh?
All of them are offered.
In the mood of?
Good.
Okay, let's see.
No.
Not
if not offered.
No.
What?
Why? Oh, yeah, thank you. So, very good. Okay, see, if you see this text, that's 9, right?
This is 8, correct.
This is 8.
I got the point what you're trying to say.
Okay, please tell me.
Prabhupada mentioned here that some other foods, so it's line 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth line in the purport to verse 10. Maybe it's from that. Some other foods such as baked corn and molasses, while not very palatable in themselves, can be made pleasant when mixed with milk or other foods.
Very good. If you see Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to this, then you can understand. We'll come to this point, last point afterwards, since we are discussing, since we are here. So let's go and read out Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, then we'll come back to this point. See how Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is analyzing. He is saying, yeah, this one. Read this out, Prabhuji.
It's well known that sattvic foods increase the lifespan, i.e. they also increase the strength of will, sattva, as well as physical strength, freedom from disease, happiness, and delightfulness in eating them. The food should be tasty or juicy, or rasya. Jaggery has taste, but it's coarse or dry. Sattvic foods should just be mild, with oil, snigdha.
This is not snigdha. You know, when you eat this jaggery, you can see coarse feeling in your tongue. Anyway, that's one way of analyzing. Even though this is rasya, there is rasa in it. And then, you know, foam.
The foam of milk, though tasty and mild, is insubstantial. Sattvic food should be substantial, with long-lasting effects on the body. Eat
up. Then jackfruit.
Jackfruit and other items are sweet, mild, and substantial, but
are not beneficial to the stomach and the organs. Sattvic foods should thus offer
the heart, stomach, and other organs, India, as well.
So, this would have all those qualities. No, this is not like animal fat, what you see today.
No, but even things like salt, butter, and stuff like that.
Right? well, you know, here merely not that you overeat. For example, ghee or butter, if you eat as much as necessary for your body, that actually helps strengthen your body and you get good brain, you know, substance out of it. If you eat anything, ati sarvat tragarhitam, anything is more than what is required for the body, it's dangerous for the body. Okay, so why we should avoid onion and garlic, coming back to our point? Huh?
Stink.
Okay.
Huh? Horrible smell,
okay.
I have this personal experience that I do think it makes you a little bit more passionate. When I have onions and garlic, it does make your mind a little more lusty.
Okay, good.
Then more of passion.
More of passion.
Very acidic.
Yeah, even I heard that pilots advise not to eat garlic a few hours before their flight because it increases their reaction time. It kills certain ions in your brain. It kills certain brain cells. It kills good bacteria. It kills bad bacteria, but it kills good bacteria. It makes you aggressive, an aphrodisiac, increases sex desire, binds you to your body. Has a binding effect to the material body.
Very good. You have got nice information. We have just put few information here in this slide. You can just read it out. Anyway, here, this point is separate from all these points. This is a quote from Brahman Parivarta Puran. Some people say like, you know, okay, sattvic food, you can just eat like that, you know, it's no problem. But according to Brahman Parivarta Puran, annam vishtha jalam mutram jad vishnur anivedanam. That anna, food grain and water, which is not offered to the Lord Vishnu, that food grain is as good as stool, and that water is as good as drinking urine. So that's why Vaishnavas, they do not just eat sattvic food. Okay. So then you can read this, just 4 points I have, you know, collected from some other sources. Because you all are preachers, if you say something by quoting some kind of, you know, so-called authority even, it makes a lot of sense to outsiders. Why we should avoid. Even this Ayurveda giving a description about why we should avoid those things, what kind of bad effects they produce in our body. That's why we avoid eating those kind of foodstuffs. It's not that we are sentimental people. We follow, which has got some good understanding behind. Somebody can read one by one?
Garlic and onions are both adjust in the mouth. Are forbidden to yogis because they root the consciousness more firmly in the body. Dr. Robert E. Sabot. Raw garlic carry harmful botulism bacteria. Robert Paul Korak, dose of garlic that is more harmful than hemlock. Garlic and onion are avoided by special alert because they stimulate the central nervous system and can disturb bowel of stomach.
That's before driving plane, they are not allowed to. It affects on central nervous system. Yes? That's Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Anyway, you don't have to read all these things, you know. Now we can go to... Some more information about... You know, some people, they say this, you know, eating, taking intoxication, meat eating, all these things also are recommended in Shastra. Like in Bhagavatam say, Loke Bibayam Amishamadya Seva Nityahi Jantur Nahitatra Chodana. But the next two lines, it explains what it actually means. Even though there is some recommendation given in the Shastra for such kind of activities, but not that you just wildly take advantage of such activities. How to perform those activities, again Bhagavatam is explaining, okay, if somebody wants to eat meat or drink liquor, how he should do it. This is just for, because you are going to kind of become a preacher, if you take this as a reference, you can definitely use as a preaching tool to convince people, okay, if Shastra recommends such kind of activities, how it should be done. Read this part, this translation only.
According to the Vedic instruction, when wine is offered in sacrificial ceremonies, it is later to be consumed by smelling and not by drinking. Similarly, the sacrificial offering of animals is permitted, but there is no provision for wide-scale animal slaughter. Religious sacrifice is also permitted, but only in marriage for begetting children, and not for sensuous exploitation of the body. Unfortunately, however, the less intelligent materialists cannot understand that their duties in life should be performed purely on the spiritual platform.
I find this is a very good, useful instrument to preach to those people who are already addicted to such kind of activities. Somebody who is, you know, born in a very aristocratic family, so-called aristocratic family, you know, surrounded with, you know, big circle, friend circle, lot of wealth, every evening they have to go for the party, you know, once and then, they have wine, everything, okay. We are not actually encouraging him to. But you see, my dear sir, if it is at all has to be, Shastra says it has to be like that. Don't just commit yourself too much to such kind of activities and degrade yourself to the lower modes of nature. Save yourself by following Shastra, and we are here to help you out of your situation. Don't just overcommit yourself to such kind of activities. Anyway, this is something, because I was thinking we are discussing about moods and foods. So just to give you some kind of, you know, extra reference, I just pulled out. Again, this Matsya, he was explaining about Matsya, I said this is a good thing to show at least. It says, Yo Matsya Mamsa Asnati, so Jajasya Mamsa Asnati, Sa Tasman Mamsa Mamsado Uchyate, Matsyada Sarva Mamsada Dasman Matsyan Vibarjayet. Right. Yo Yasya Mamsam Asnati. Anyone who eats any other mamsa, flesh, what he is called? Satan Mamsada Uchyate. Then he is called, okay, he is a eater of such and such meat, such and such flesh. But Matsyada Sarva Mamsada. If somebody eating meat, sorry, fish, he is termed as eating all sorts of flesh. Yes. Not only he is eating only particular flesh. See, this is a quotation coming from again Manu Samhita. Tasmat Matsyan Vibarjayet. When you say Tasmat Matsyan Vibarjayet, it's not that encouraging. You can eat other meat. Kind of giving an explanation how those who eat meat, fish, they are so condemned. Just to refute those Ramakrishna Mission people. You understand?
Yeah.
You said, you know, yeah, we people should know why we say all these things.
Jesus specified baptism and breath.
Jesus?
Jesus said, in the Bible, he said that 5,000 people with one fish.
When I read Krishna Consciousness and Christianity,
yeah.
I actually, Stephen Satcharaprabhu, he was actually having a dialogue with one reverend. And in the part of the book, he was mentioning a point how, because of transliteration between languages, there was actually a particular type of sweet. That was named, do you remember fish? There was a particular type of sweet that resembled, that had a similar sound to the word fish. So what Jesus said was actually vegetation, not the actual meat. That's what, that's according to the research, that's what he said.
Very good. Yeah.
Hello.
anathema vegetarianism in world religion.
Many times it happens like that, you know, because of this defect of the transliteration. They don't understand what actually it means, and they relate it to something else. Then they keep on explaining wrong thing.
So one Smita has a purport that says eating fish is worse than eating anything.
Of course. This is the purport of Mansangita.
Why is that?
Why is that?
Why is it that fish?
Because if you see, fish can eat anything. If you give, you know, fish to a goat, goat is never going to eat that fish. If there is one fish rotten, you just throw it, another fish will come and start eating. If there is a dead cow floating in the river, fish will go and start eating. Dead body, human dead body is there, go and start eating. Goat will not eat a human dead body.
So eating fish is lower than eating...
anyway, lower estimation I would say. Yeah. Because they are eating everything if they eat fish.
Yes, you say that fish is the garbage collector.
Yeah, garbage collector, yes. And you are putting garbage collector into your bag.
Yeah.
You should show them this quote. You say, Prabhuji, I am not telling anything. You should. No, I am just telling you.
It's a water vegetable.
Oh yeah, water vegetable. In Bengal they say, you know, Joler Begun. It's a brinjal from the water.
So you go, there are some places in my country, at least, in every country, there are places people live out of it.
Yeah.
So one day there will be devotees who will go there and preach, and you know, so there will actually be a situation where that, you know, because that's their daily.
I met with one person from Orissa. He is from this, you know, near this sea. There is a lake called Chilika. Maybe you have heard of this place. Lake, you know, it's a big lake. And people who live next to that lake, their main profession is just, you know, catching fish. They are all fishermen. And his son has become a devotee of his son, Krishna's devotee. His father, he still catches fish. And he says, you know, this is our profession, my dear son. How can I give up, you know, my profession? Well, I cannot survive without eating fish. This is another nonsense. I said, you tell your father, you are, you know, working in the Middle East, and you are earning tons and tons of money. You cannot buy good food for your father. Why he has to eat all this nonsense thing? Because he is addicted to, he is attached to his personal ideas. He cannot give it up, and he is saying, this is my profession. Similarly, in the Middle East country, for example, okay, if you go today to the Middle East, they have the, you know, best food ever available in their country, because they are importing all sorts of foods from all over the world. But still, these people are too much attached to the idea of eating beef. Why? Why we have to eat beef? Now Krishna has given you such a wonderful facility, you know. When you are in the midst of the modern scientific advancement, and you can see, you can import anything, any sorts of fruits, vegetables, you know, grains from any part of the world, and you can very nicely live with the sattvic food. Why you have to eat this? Because you are conditioned. You have to understand, this is what is your conditioned nature forcing you to do. Please come out of your conditioned nature. Anyway, so then, charity in the moods, sacrifice, austerities and charities in mood. Definitely we will not discuss everything, but we will directly go to austerity and charity. When it is explained about the austerity in moods, mood of goodness, passion and ignorance. Again, this charity in the mood of goodness, sorry, austerity in the mood of goodness is explained in terms of body, word and mind.
We have this chart in here.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see that. I'm just showing this much, then we will go to the next. Prabhuji was explaining these people, they say about worshipping their ancestors. We also saying in the mood of goodness. Deva dvija guru pragyam pujanam socamarjavam. Pragyam, deva dvija pragyam. Pragyam means elderly people, like we also say you worship your father and mother. But we respect our father or mother, but we do not worship them like God. We understand Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, this you should read at least. Anudbega karam bhakyam satyam priya hitam chajat sadhyaya dhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. Yes? You understand, austerity of speech consists of speaking which is truthful, beneficial and pleasing. You may say truth which is not pleasing, not beneficial, not good, and regularly reciting Vedic literature. But Prabhupada is giving a very strong indication in his lecture. Purport, read this.
When a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students, but that the teacher should not speak to those who are not his students, if he will agitate their minds.
Yeah.
It is social convention that if you want to speak truth, you speak truth very palatable, flattery. Don't speak unpalatable truth. But we are not meant for that purpose, social convention. We are preachers. We are servants of God. We must speak the real truth. You may like it or may not like it. That a godless civilization cannot be happy in any state. That is a fact.
I have a question. I heard that Prabhupada would sometimes speak on purpose to agitate, like they say, for example, the Americans, what do you believe in American religion, or Indians, who've been given a religion, now judging to spread it. So, how do we follow Prabhupada's footsteps according to the purpose and purpose of answer?
He is saying, this is a social status, but we speak the truth. We speak the real truth. Okay, sometimes Prabhupada, yes, we have seen the way he speaks, like, you know, agitating to others, because he is speaking the truth. Now, how do we follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada? That's the kind of, you know, point remains with us. Means, Prabhupada, he is not an ordinary person like as we see today, or like we. Prabhupada is definitely a transcendental personality. He is real messenger of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Senapati Bhakta. He is fully empowered by Mahaprabhu to speak like this. Prabhupada can go to a public address and he can start blaspheming people. One time Prabhupada went to a Gita, association. Yeah. And these people, they are all kind of, you know, Mayavadi, you know, followers of, so-called followers of Gita. They invited Prabhupada to come and give an address about Gita. So Prabhupada came, and he came with his followers, and, you know, he just totally, you know, smashed them. And after his lecture was finished, as soon as he finished his lecture, with all his disciples, he, you know, packed up and he said, let's go. He just, you know, back at the area. He just left. Because he knew, I came for a particular purpose. We understand Bhagavad Gita correctly and we have to preach to them. What nonsense these people going to speak after me? Why should I stay here? He just left like that. Prabhupada can do it like that. But when we people have to present, even though this is a fact, we have to understand our limit. We have to understand our purity. To the degree you are pure, to that degree you can bring influence. You can influence the people you talk. So if I am not so spiritually advanced as I have understood correctly, so I should balance the situation and tell the truth accordingly.
Have you all seen the Acharya CD? Yeah. Yeah. You know the Acharya CD? Yeah. Rewatch the video of Prabhupada in the garden of the LA temple with the five biggest Christian preachers. It's absolutely brutal. No compromise.
Don't compromise.
They just finally had nothing left to say. Give us a massacre.
Here is God. Why don't you accept?
Yeah.
He said, you're all searching for God. Yeah. Now, you say, here is God. Krishna. Why don't you accept?
Yeah. Prabhupada has that command in himself. Yes, he can say, because he is not just speaking as we people speak. He is speaking out of his realization. He has accepted Krishna. You know, honestly speaking, when I first saw Prabhupada, he is offering abhishek to the Radha Krishna deity. It made me feel, honestly speaking, it made me feel, this man, he is not, you know, treating this just a normal statement. He is pouring a, you know, milk or ghee, something like that. It made me feel like this person is treating this deity as a real person. You know, he is bathing them. That feeling you can see in Prabhupada's expression, the way he is, you know, pouring things, the way he is looking at the deity, the way he is kind of, you know, removing this, you know, dirt. He is treating them, they are real person. That feeling you can see in Prabhupada. That's how he can say, yes, we say, here is God, why don't you accept him? He can speak it like that because he has accepted it and he has realized and he is treating them like that. If you are convinced of this philosophy to that degree, definitely if you tell people, people will not say anything to you also. So be prepared for that. Yes, Prabhuji.
Another part where also, like, where Prabhupada makes contradictory statements, like in this section we're reading that she's passable and nice, and then earlier in the Gita you said you cause thief. You know, when you see a thief, you cause a thief, you know, you speak the truth. So it's just interesting to see that in one book there's like Prabhupada makes two different statements.
No, in different contexts, different things are explained. We have to understand things according to the context. Yeah. Last one.
So, 4.17.15 for 32 speech. Is this hierarchical? So, for example, we should always try to speak truthful, pleasing, beneficial, not agitating to others. Now, is there a hierarchy?
It's a general standard is given, standard system. Yeah. We should speak which is truthful, beneficial and pleasing. Okay. So then we are going to the mood of charity in the moods. Yes?
There are three kinds of charity, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Sattvic charity in goodness is due consideration. That is, the worthy place, give charity in the hands of brahmanas and vaishnavas. Because they
will
employ whatever you give them in the service of the Lord.
Yeah. If you have some money, we give to Mayapur Institute. See, he is saying that worthy place, you know, you have to give to worthy person. Place is Tirthasthan, Mayapur. Okay. And the Kalo is, definitely you are studying Bhakti Shastri. And definitely we are going to build a facility for the future university students, Mayapur Institute students. Okay? Don't forget to give your charity to Mayapur Institute.
And rajasic means for the sake of name. Oh, people will say, I'm so charitable. That is rajasic.
Yeah. They feel proud. And then tamasic.
Does not know where the money is going. Just like in the Bowery street, the drunkard comes and polishes the motor car and somebody gives $5 and he immediately goes to drink. That means, this charity means giving. That Charity means giving impetus for drinking. So if charity creates a drunkard, oh, that is very dangerous. He has to suffer, the man who is giving the charity.
As I said, if somebody is going to attain some prostitutes in the nightclub and he ends up paying $100 or few $100 to the prostitute, he is responsible for the consequences. That's totally in the mood of ignorance. And even sometimes you may be giving your charity to a worthy person, but using bad languages, bad words. You know, sometimes people do, hey, what is it? Okay, take it. You know, it's not, it's gone. No, I am so wealthy. Just take it. Go. Forget it. You know. You go to them, he is sitting in a big, you know, cushion. Oh, where is a Vaishnava? He doesn't have a respect for the Vaishnava. Using bad words, he just, you know, gives this. It's not going to help him. That's also in the mood of ignorance. Sometimes we find people, you know, giving donations like that also.
We're charged in the mode of ignorance. Let's say the argument comes up that I've given my money to somebody, now they've gone to use that money for an improper purpose. Isn't that their karma? Isn't it? Yeah. Aren't they responsible for...
What Prabhupada is saying here? Read it. Read this.
From... That means this charity means giving impetus for drinking.
Yeah.
Could somebody argue that?
Because you have given them money, that's how you have facilitated them to commit wrong things. You are responsible for that. You can't say, of course, what they are saying, there is a consequence for that and they have to, you know, go through the consequences. It doesn't mean that being a facilitator, you are totally out of the loop. You are also a, you know, partner for that issue.
In the same case, like, for the flesh, it has been said, like,
Yeah. They are responsible for it. Anyway, this is there already in the handbook. Prabhupada is speaking about this Om Tat Sat. Just read this part. So this word is being, actually Prabhupada is following Baldev Vidya Bhushan. I have just summarized everything from Baldev Vidya Bhushan's commentary and put it into one slide. Two names, Om represents God, Tat also God, second name, and Sat, that Brahman is eternal. This is how we explain, you know, Om Tat Sat. But these names are secondary names, right? What is saying? Prabhupada is mentioned here. Representative name. Yeah. These names are representative names. They are representing the God. That's it. If you kind of know, remember this much, this is first name, second name, and these names are actually representative names. Sometimes you may use this as a preaching. Prabhupada is saying something, yes, this is what you must read.
Because people have no education and actual knowledge, they become irresponsible. The sovereign's responsibility, education for developing the mode of goodness of the people in general, would be there. When they are actually educated in the mode of goodness, they will become sober and full knowledge of things as they are. Then people will be happy and prosperous. Even if the majority of the people are unhappy and prosperous, if a certain percentage of the population develops Krishna consciousness and becomes situated in the mode of goodness, then there is a possibility for peace and prosperity all over the world.
Yes, this is what we are trying to establish in Mayapur Institute. If we can facilitate this Shastric knowledge to a certain percentage of population in the world, still we can help the world to become happy and peaceful and prosperous. This is what we are trying to do with this Mayapur Institute. That's why I am asking you, if you have money, give to Mayapur Institute. Sorry. Hey, don't show this recording to anybody else.
if I, in a way, that causes someone else to do something wrong, do I get some of the reaction?
Say again?
If I act in a way that causes someone else to do something incorrect, wrong, do I get some of the reaction?
Morally wrong?
Yeah.
Or just make a mistake?
No, actually morally wrong.
Yeah, you get the karma.
And then,
we'll get
share of
the
karma.
Yeah, if I
influence,
no,
there's
no share. You get an equal part,
he gets
equal.
Be careful.
And vice versa, in terms of influence in pious activities or anything like that.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll, yeah, okay, any, if you want you can,
open book assessment. I'll give you tomorrow. Some of them I have. I'll give you tomorrow. They're still not with me yet. So that's why I have tomorrow.
So we'll meet on Monday.
Monday,
yeah. 10:30. 10:30. Please come.